is thank you for your contribution, sir. I would definitely add that. Definitely add that. A lot of people are asking for government to do this or to do that, and to, I mean, and quite rightly so. They are the managers, the policymakers, etc. But as a country, we ourselves also have the responsibility, the personal responsibility, the corporate responsibility, whether it's business, and the community responsibility and family, etc., to do our part as well. Simple things like not littering, and small things, inculcating certain thought processes in your children. And, you know, we have a role to play as well, to be responsible citizens. And I think we need to also band together to, I think that that part of Barbados has been disappearing for quite some time, and it has nothing to do with any particular administration being in office, but as a people, we have become very selfish. And it's one of my observations about our country. We need to be far more community-minded, be more friendly, and stop being so selfish in our thought processes. Not only, as one of our leaders have said before, it's not only what your government can do for you, but what can you do as well? Where can you serve? Who can you help? Which group of people can you impact? And I think together that will help make a better Barbados. And we do have a large task ahead of us, not only economic issues, folks. We have some social challenges that have presented themselves within the last 15 years and that have really metamorphosed into some large bogeymen in within the last three years. And I say that looking through the varying societies that I interact with and seeing some of the reports, some international as well, we have a lot of work to do as a people, and it really starts from our individual selves. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. The number to call, 431-1790. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Is Miss Lisa Gale
speaking?
Is Lisa coming?
Lisa Gale.
I'm surprised of the DLP calling, because they should be ashamed. When there
the DLP supporters?
Yes.
No, they shouldn't be ashamed.
When they was in government, the government treated people like we're nothing. You know, you call for the Prime Minister to come out and talk to the people. You call, you know, nothing happened.
So why would their supporters not be allowed, or why should they be ashamed to call on the program?
The government was wrong. Look, you got two or three of them in the house will come out and say it's wrong about this, and yet they go back in the house and vote for it. You understand what
I'm saying?
Which
means that they supported it.
But then why come out and say you don't support it? Why come out?
Maybe they don't support how it is done, but fundamentally, if a man is a Democratic Labour Party MP, it would be very difficult for him to
if you've got a conscience. You should, if you would say no to something outside and let the public believe that you are against it, why go in and vote for it? That means you got two-faced. Right?
There may be other reasons why they voted.
No other reason. They're just ignorant, that's all. And they get beaten and just give the government, the BLP government, with Ms. Wantley time. Everything she said, by the grace of God, will carry out. Okay? Because right now, the country is don't have any money. Because they goes in and hardly any money is in the kitty. So what got to be done? One man said we're going to have to tighten our belt. Listen, we tighten our belt already. That you cannot tighten it no more. If you tighten it, you end up like a cat with no belly. You understand?
Yeah, so we got to go to the bathroom.
Listen to me. You go outside the road. It's like people want to drive the cars in the air. They feel light. You go in the supermarket now. Things still there. But people feel like an easy smile on people's face. Before their face, no smile, like they want to cry, but the tears won't come. Mm-hmm. Things was hard for 10 years, 10 long years. It's like Moses delivered the people. Well, it's a lady delivered the people out of fear hand. Right? That's all I can say, because right now I gave her time and she said she's going to do it, and I know she will do it by the grace of the living God. She's
Thank
going
you.
To do it. And I'm proud to be a BLP supporter, okay?
Thank you so much. We had two WhatsAppers, one of whom I'll read what they said here. Miss Gail, I've lived in Canada for some years, and I can say Barbados is at a pivotal point of brilliance. One, the size of the island makes it a perfect fit for electric cars and electric public buses. Two, wind, solar, and tidal energy is perfect to implement. Or should that be? Well, energy is, yes. If roads and infrastructure are developed, it will go a long way to increasing productivity. That's a good contribution. In fact, in 2012, I would have attended a trade mission that went to Atlantic Canada. It was a fascinating scenario where we were moving towards a green Barbados, and the private sector at the time was very interested in advancing renewable energy, and the Canadian Chamber of Commerce at the time, along with some other business persons here in Barbados, collaborated to get some benchmarking ideas as to how we can improve our wind energy in Barbados. And a little bit of work has been done subsequent to that, but I fully agree with this WhatsApper that it is an opportunity for us to grab hold of, but we do have to do some modifications to our infrastructure in order to advance this type of program. One other messenger mentioned that we should give, similar to what was said before about giving change a chance, but they also mentioned that they also questioned what is wrong with opposing views of the existing administration. I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and I don't think that people argue, you know, very forcefully in their support for party, but we must be able to distill beyond that. There's sometimes people have legitimate opposing perspectives that need to be conveyed, but sometimes they're so wrapped up in their partisan politics that they don't get to suggest the things that they really want to suggest. And then sometimes people are so biased that anything any party does beyond what they're supportive of, they have a challenge with. So let us welcome all the types of persons who would call and give each person a chance. Just let us be respectful in doing so. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning. Yes, we're not at afternoon yet.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Good morning.
Saturday morning, then.
Yes.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Okay. Bit of echo coming, but we continue. Sadly, about this economy, I remember having a conversation with one of the moderators about marine biologists. However, there was a program actually on the 8th of last month, and it has to do with Bermuda. If you punch in the Royal Gazette, new marine species discovered off Bermuda, you will see what was spoken about it on the BBC. Are you still with me?
I'm listening to you. Marine biologist, BBC.
Right. No. The new marine species discovered off Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
You had the interview on the BBC was Mr. Alex Rogers, the scientific director of the Necton Oxford Deep Ocean Research Institute. He's also a professor of conservative biology.
Mm-hmm.
He said one of the things about he also mentioned the blue economy. He said one of the things about the blue economy also is the fact that not only are they looking for new species, but they're also looking for a way to develop new pharmaceuticals. Because he said that there are certain sea occupants or sea creatures, if you want to put it that way, which actually harbor chemicals which are very helpful for the human being.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole lot of other things too. And I remember, I think 2016, 2017, I told Mr. Corallian about coral reefs. And if you were to Google coral reefs as the blue economy, you would see it actually is linked to tourism. But you would probably notice if you were in your line of work also, it's actually linked to the to tourism.
What's the name of the species that was found off the coast of Bermuda?
He didn't specify the exact species.
Oh, okay.
But if you Google it, that's why I just gave you the way to Google it. It's just for the Royal Gazette, new marine species discovered off Bermuda, and they will tell you about it right there. So you're going to have to clear it yourself. And then if you Google coral reefs, blue economy, you see how tourism can be good for coral reefs, etc.
Okay.
These are all things, you know, I was very interested in this since the 1980s, when in 1990s, because of a program which I actually saw in Canada, it was a it was kind of a joke, Canadian joke. Yeah, somebody actually asked about it on both radio stations. Nobody ever heard about it. We, the fisher folk, had actually gone into farming and stuff like that. So when they came to the blue economy, I pretty much had an idea what they
what was up their street. Okay.
Yeah, but before you start learning anything, you should always get definitions. You can also Google definition of blue economy.
I went a little further. I never heard about the brown economy. I just decided to, let me just put in some colors here. We know about the green economy.
Right.
So I did that just a couple of weeks ago when I first heard it on the campaign trail.
Right.
But there was a mention of it before, but I never really paid it any attention. But I went directly for the definitions a couple of weeks ago.
Right. You will see it. You see it has different definitions, different meanings to
it
different
does. People. Yeah.
We're in the world. They actually dealing with it. And also,
last week the Caribbean Development Bank actually is still on their Facebook page, but last week the Caribbean Development Bank at their annual meetings in Grenada, they actually had a presentation on the blue economy, very, very informative. So you may want to go to Facebook and go on the CDB's website and go on, I don't remember the full name of it, but it mentions understanding the blue economy or unleashing the blue economy or something to that effect. And it would give you a lot more perspective on the economic impact of a blue economy in a small economy or a blue economy generally. That would be useful to you.
Right. And not only that, too, when you go through the definition, you see questions which are asked by other people. And these questions are answered, and it gives you a very good a good understanding. Yeah, the very next one you could also go for is BBC Compass, Maritime Affairs, the Blue Economy. And you click on Sustainable Blue Economy Principles, and you also get some information there, too. Unfortunately, I have to reassemble one of my computers.
So that means you are a scientist.
Huh?
What do you do, if I may ask?
I do. I'm a trained electronic technician. Security, but I tend to combine the two at times.
Okay.
Because the reason too, I was really interested in that JS Canadian program because it wanted also marine technicians. I used to also install transceivers in police cars. Taxis and sometimes in boats. Mm-hmm. I'm saying to myself, "No, this would be a nice way to go back and travel the Caribbean. I'll be on vacation and yet working." Mm-hmm. Because I'm a type of person who like to pinpoint things in space and in time, which is actually you're dealing with phases and vectors, right?
Okay.
And communication was always my thing. Now, the next time you speak, I want to speak to you about that 1840 Act that they had in Barbados. Which, if you stay, didn't go back to work, I face starvation. I'll be thrown in jail. Right. The BBC forum, the BBC forum on sugar industry showed that Trinidad dealt with it a different way, which actually marginalized, which ended up actually marginalizing descendants of the African Muslim slaves. It didn't say that in the forum, but it says it in the encyclopedia religion. Remember I mentioned
But they were marginalized here too, under that act, if you did not submit is not the best word, but it's really the word. You can suffer starvation and suffer that ostracism and stuff like that. So they were marginalized if they didn't want to follow.
Right,
that's why the act was put in place.
Right, but the way that they did it in Trinidad is that they marginalized and discriminated against the census of African Muslim slaves who refused to work on the plantation.
Okay.
And the forum said this is where racism was concocted as a divide and rule strategy. But we'll speak about it next time. You have a good morning.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. We have a WhatsApper here that says, I noticed the monitors at the car park at Massey Warrens are flashing ads during the day, serious flashing. And I don't know if this is a question. There's no question mark. But it says, is that an issue to people prone to seizures? I assume it's structured in such a way that it is a question. And that's a useful question to find out. Another WhatsApper asking whether or not the Senate met yesterday, as expected. And I'm not so sure I haven't seen any commentary on it, but based on the fact that the full constitution of the Senate has not been completed, I think that might be one of the reasons. I have no knowledge of that. And the The correct term is, and this is for the specifically for the, our very last caller, financing the blue economy, a Caribbean development opportunity. So thank you, WhatsApper. You're listening. This is Down to Brass Stats. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good morning to you, Madam Moderator.
Good morning. Not afternoon.
How are you doing this morning?
Well, thank you.
Okay. Ma'am, I called because while I was on the road, I heard you engaging a caller. Mm-hmm. And I was forced to get online so that I can speak to some issues that he neglected to draw to your attention.
Are you parked or you're using a Bluetooth or what?
No. I come on a landline. Okay. I am not. No.
Yes.
So I heard him made a number of pronouncements, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to, before you say what I have to say, I want to query one single question from you out of the abundance of caution, right? And okay. For the avoidance of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And that is simply this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that can the two recent downgrades to which he called a mention mm-hmm. be directly attributed to the Motley-led administration?
Yes, by the decision by Motley to not service the external debt until restructuring, until we come into a full program, that was a decision by this administration, and that's what triggered the downgrades. But if you are using cause and effect, this is only because of the debt situation, the burgeoning debt, the very big, large debt, and that's the reason. So if you want to, you can say it's Motley-led, or you, because it happened within the Motley administration, but
right.
It may have, it is because of scenarios that existed in the previous administration.
That's where I want to go, right? Because the caller would like to mislead the people of this country, and I will not.
Don't worry about what the caller says. Make your contribution.
Because there are some people who are holding on to a lot of things, the nonsense. And I've been hearing for a while, coming on this calling program, trying to confuse people in this country. Now, he support the last administration, ma'am,
mm-hmm.
that went for a $225 million from the Credit Suisse. And part of the bond arrangement was that if there are any downgrades, I think it is paragraph B of the arrangement. Sorry, I can't put my hands on it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That made it pellucidly clear that, and on the event that there is a downgrade, that it will directly interfere with the interest payments that will bring up penalties. Ain't you so? Right? That caused us to be paying almost $4 million more at every single downgrade. And when the money was borrowed in 2013, I think it was 2014, we were at 16 downgrades. They leave office at 21 or 22 downgrades. Tell me about the enormous burden that has brought about as a result of this arrangement. And he got the guts to be coming to this program, ma'am, to talk about downgrades. I believe that's a topic that he should leave alone. Ma'am, that's not the only thing that affects me, you know, in his utterances. Now, $22 billion in 9 years. To date, we have bad roads in our country. Healthcare is partially in shambles. Every single thing, no buses, no sanitation trucks has been bought. And this government, the previous administration, was going after a further $8 billion to be collected in taxes. How can he do this, ma'am? Not only that, ma'am. The last administration said that it will not get involved in the divestment in state assets. But on the last leg, had the Hilton to sell for pittance. We saw, just to say,
in the last budget, the minister did mention a divestment program, of which he mentioned Hilton, and he also mentioned the NPC, the BNTC.
BNTCL.
BNTCL, yes. So
right.
Just to be fair, that they did indicate that was a strategy to shore up the reserves at the time.
But ma'am, that's selling a house to buy lunch. And not only that, ma'am, we had Blue Horizon that was bought for $15 million on that GEMS project. It was given to Terre Caribbean, it was appraised for $12 million. Was placed on the market for sale. an investor came forward offering $11 million, but it was sold for $5 million. But he have the guts to come to tell you, no, downgrades this morning. Ma'am, there are a number of things. This is what I thought that a led administration by funders would have sought to them. Because all the talk we talk about unions and prospect, ma'am, the bottom line is simply this. The Democratic Party has failed while they were in administration to get the normal and the simple things done in this society. Let me draw some examples to you, ma'am. Could you imagine, ma'am, a mother, 3 children, whose desire is to have a job? And part of the requirements for the job for which she applied says to her that she must have a police certificate of character. Now, let us have an argument, say she's coming from the parish of St. Andrew. She has to get on the 5 o'clock bus to reach the town at 6, to stay up in a line where the office opens at 8. And God forbid, no, because I understand they got this appointment thing.
You have to call on the phone first before you can even go to the appointment. No.
No, good. Now, I would have thought that a Fundestruct-led administration, after pronouncing that it is the party for the poor, we have police stations in all 11 parishes in this country. Man, what is wrong with the government investing in software that each police station will have a separate department for the issuing of certificate of characters, that the same lady who wants to come from St. Andrew to get a police certificate of character can journey to the police station within her district and make the application there and have it. Because that once you have
and
the
then probably just do collection at that central place, but start the process in the respective communities. I think that's a good suggestion.
Mama, it isn't a rocket science. It isn't a rocket science, ma'am. Not only that, I would have thought that a Democrat Labour-led administration would have stopped the civil servant when they go into a government department to hear that person is at lunch, but the person going to pay the driver's license and stand up in a line that got him over 200 people. What is wrong with the administration getting the necessary software, having a website that is user-friendly, that the same public servant can either stay on her Android phone, his or her Android phone, or use the very computer that they are in front of and pay their driver's license, ma'am? What is wrong with that? That is their rocket science. What is wrong with if I suffer a disconnection of my water or want to pay a water bill, why didn't the Democrat Party administrator had a facility online that would enable me, the customer, to pay my water bill without having to even leave my office to go on the road, to suffer a lot of traffic congestion and so on. These are the things, ma'am, that mean more to poor people in this country and the average citizen than the nonsense that he comes from this program to spit out.
I would hope that you compile these suggestions and supply them to the respective agencies that they would, that will have purview for these subjects, because these are good suggestions. And we're talking about improving the democracy of the country, allowing people to speak more and to share and to have alternative views. And there are always ways and means of improvement in these things. And I thank you for that part. There, do you have anything else as we wrap up?
Yeah, the final thing I want to say, ma'am, that this rhetoric about sending home public servants and all types of things, right? Ma'am, and George Bell hit the nail on the head when I listened to the program on Sunday. That there is this notion and philosophy in this country that every time there's austerity, that we must, our first approach must be to send home people. Ma'am, if you send home 1,500 people, it cannot solve the problem that we are having. And this whole thing, I support the multi-led administration with the restructuring of the debt, because it's simple mathematics. If I have a job, ma'am, that earning me $4,000 a month, and I have a car loan at $1,000, and lose my job and decide that I have to accept a job at 25, nothing prohibits me from going into the bank and sitting down with my financiers and say, I need this loan restructured. And in the restructuring of the loan, ma'am, what essentially happens is that the loan is now spread across a longer time period for paying, reduce the payment to me, and make me more comfortable at the $2,500 that I'm now earning. It is no rocket science. But there are some people who won't come and confuse Barbados, who all they want to know is the truth and how it will be properly done. But for the sake of games, that is their mantra, to come and spout out a lot of nonsense that doesn't make any sense at all. That is the problem that I have. So I'm not getting caught up with Mr. Word. I heard Dr. Word said, he told the previous administration 4,500. Now he come and tells Moreland administration 1,500. So his approach is the 1937 and 38 approach. I'm saying that with all the technology and with all of the education that we now have in the 21st century, that it cannot be the center home of public servants to be the answer for the crisis that we are now facing. It cannot be. That's all I want to say about it.
Thank you so much. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. We're back. There's a WhatsApper here that says, good morning, Ms. Gale. We have to be fair in looking at what is now taking place. The unions, the social partners, and the business people in Barbados have not hesitated to sit down with the new government, and this clearly shows that they were not willing to work with the previous administration. I hold my head in shame, being a Barbadian, that you can hold the government to ransom while our economy is dying and our dollar is on the verge of being devalued. So we must be fair in our thinking and in our analysis, not to be biased, because the facts are clearly to be seen that they did not try to work with the previous government, and that is why the previous government had it so hard and was left to try to work things out within themselves. And I do not support any party, BLP or DLP. That was one WhatsApper, and then there were several others. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. The person is asking for the number to call and make the appointment for the application of the said police certificate of character. We will request that. Thanks for asking. And we will get that and probably try to share before the end of the program or see if we can reply to your WhatsApp. This is Dr. Brass Stacks.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hello, good morning. Good morning, madam. I just want to make a few comments here. Mm-hmm. Now, I think economists are largely overrated, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not going to save us. They're not going to save Barbados. I mean, you could bring all of them from Harvard, from Yale, from London School of Economics, and all assemble all, everyone, all the good ones, bring them in, let me tell you, right now, the Barbados has a major problem with a large fiscal deficit and a current account deficit, the balance of payments. Those are issues. And this can only be solved by Barbados selling goods and services to the world and earning foreign exchange, or finding ways to save having to spend it. I will give you for example, one company I saw in last week papers, one company in Barbados that paid, I think I saw it for corporation tax, $17 million in corporation tax to the government. Remarkable. What they do, they sell $17 million, I think that's the figure I saw.
In 2017?
Hello?
It was 2017 that they set the.
Yeah, 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, $17 million. And what I'm saying is that company exports. It also has subsidiaries across the Caribbean. In fact, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. And that is what we need. We don't need economists. They will cost us, and they have to get high salaries and so on, and they're not going to. The economists are going to cost us a lot of money to pay them. They don't earn foreign exchange. They're paid.
Their ideas don't help government make policies?
Ideas will not. All economists do choices between alternatives. Let me give you an example. The former Prime Minister of Singapore, Lee Kuan Yew, made this point.
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago, I don't know if you remember this thing, Singapore was kicked out of the Federation of Malaysia. Its main market was on the mainland, Malaya.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What he said, he had many sleepless nights because he had no market after they were kicked out. They had no market for the exports of goods and services.
Yes.
This is what he said. He said the Indian government sent him an economist to advise him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said the foolish man did? He said the first thing, in the report, the man said that he should form a free trade area with Malaya. And he said, imagine, we were just kicked over the man. This man made a recommend that thing. He said he threw on the report. He didn't look at it. He didn't look at after the last thing.
So that makes all economists bad because of that?
No, I'm not saying so. But this is the point I'm making. He said that he assembled, this is the point I'm talking about. He said he assembled a team of Singaporeans, and they went all over the world marketing and looking for markets for Singapore and investments. And look at Singapore that has emerged. Singapore, only last night you saw it on CNN, Singapore is one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And in fact, it is the one country that you can say pushes above its weight.
You know that it has involuntary savings for
citizens. In fact, there's a massive safe social security punishment, really.
So the policies of that administration are what led to the advancement of that economy.
Right.
Along with the infrastructure that was left in the just around independence.
Yeah, from British and things. Yes.
Those are two significant advances. Yeah, I agree. Forward thinking policies, as well as the, in other words, they had a carpet under them that supported.
Yeah,
them.
But what
they started at the same time around Barbados, they were on par in the early 50s.
But the thing about it is that, I mean, the location, no doubt about it, is the location, because they're earning a lot of money from shipping. Because all the shipping going that part of the world have to stop to import over to Korea, Japan, everywhere.
They have some significant advantages, comparative advantages.
Yeah, comparative. But do not forget, there's another side to it. I mean, the politics. I mean, St. Paul's versus a one-party state. And, for instance, they could cap their cars at 400.
So
you know
are
how
you
money
then, are you then, and I'm deliberately asking you these questions, are you then comparing apples with apples?
No, I'm saying that. I'm not, maybe in the sense that, and I know he's already locked up the trade unions and all that. I know this is true, isn't it? And I mean, I feel it would have been a good, for me personally, for Barbados, I feel we needed some. It is my view. In the early stages of development, a country needs a strong, a benevolent dictator like Lee Kuan Yew. He was a benevolent dictator.
Benevolent, I think.
Benevolent. You're not sure that you can get one. I mean, sometimes you might get a bad dictator. Yeah. But they were fortunate in that they had a benevolent dictator to bring the country where it is today. And I'm sure they're sorry for it. I mean, you can have all the freedoms in the world and remain poor.
It's true. You're
right. So I'm saying
points.
That to me.
You're making some valid points. The only one I wouldn't agree with you on the Economist, having spent 9 years of my life.
No, I know.
What I would say is that there are complementary skills that are needed in the advancement of any country and policy making.
Yeah. All I'm saying to you is this. I'm not saying that you don't need them. All I'm saying is that you could. Look, the Economist will write papers for the Prime Minister. These gang that they're going to write papers, and in fact, she might agree or not agree. But all they do is all writing. All they are going to do is produce use ideas then, and nobody is even sure that some ideas they produce might even benefit us.
But not only economists, you have advisors in varying capacities.
I agree. They've got a lot of advisors. Yeah, but what I'm saying is that we don't put too much faith.
In
these people that they are going to. What I'm saying, at the end of the day, you'll agree with me. Mm-hmm. You know who will earn? Like that same company that can pay the government. That $17 million can help reduce your fiscal deficit. They earn foreign exchange to help us with our current account deficit. All of that. That's what's important to Barbados. And we need to have people. This is what is important for the future of this country. People who can earn foreign exchange, not people who can talk. Mm-hmm. And we have too many people who can talk. Right?
Okay.
And KFL produce a lot of those. And we can talk. We have some dumb down there who will talk. But the country has to provide large sums of money to run down there and other places. Run medical factory and so on. They don't earn it. We need people who can earn for if we don't care how much team you put together or economists and we don't have people like this company here, we will not go anywhere. To me, that's my view.
Thanks, and I think those are some good, useful suggestions. We need business. You need to be able to buy and sell. We need, as a small open economy, we need to have some exports. We can't only just be purchasing. So not a bad contribution at all. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We will be moving to the OCM News at this time.